Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Mr. Fairbanks, engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. Tom, how are you today on this Veterans Day?
So far, so good.
Is it going well?
I think so.
Good. You look well.
We'll know probably in a year or so.
It is Friday, November 11th, 2016. And again, of course, it is Veterans Day. Thank you to all of the men and women who wore the uniform and are still wearing the uniform of the United States of America in the armed forces. By the way, today's program, as was the case last week, is re-airing on KVOI on Saturday afternoon at 4. So if you're joining us on Saturday afternoon at 4, hope your weekend is going well.
So today's program is aired last Saturday?
We knew all this stuff ahead of time. Oh, yes. Thank you.
This means that Dylan will be able to listen to himself.
Yes. No. Last Friday's program aired last Saturday. Thank you for editing me here. Dylan Smith is with us. Dylan is editor, publisher of TucsonSentinel.com, Tucson's online news service. Dan Scheer is also here. Dan is the editor of two newspapers, Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Also, we like to do a shout out to some of the people who support us with a presence on their particular websites. Dylan, thank you, Dylan.
Absolutely.
BuckmasterShow.com links are also found at Tucson, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. Thank you, Dan, for your support over the years.
Dan's nodding. That doesn't work on the radio.
Can't nod on the radio.
TucsonLifestyle.com. Thank you. Southern Arizona News Examiner, that's Emil Franzi's online service. And Mr. Morales, David Morales, with his three Sonorans, a big supporter of our program. Our Friday Focus interview today on the live line from the state capitol. Hank Stevenson is with us. Hank is an award-winning reporter for an award-winning organization known as the Phoenix-based Arizona Capital Times. Hank, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Bill?
Doing real well. Thanks for joining us. Let's begin with kind of an overview of the election on Tuesday. Were there any big surprises in your opinion, Hank?
Well, I think, you know, President-elect Trump's victory was a big surprise to some. You know, the fact that he won Arizona wasn't necessarily a large surprise. There was some talk in kind of the final weeks of the election about Arizona being a battleground state. We certainly saw a lot of candidates and their surrogates coming through town. But in the end, Arizona performed as Arizona often performs, which is Republican. And the state went for Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton. Nationally, you know, I think that the trend was pretty surprising to just about anyone watching that election. But here in Arizona, that wasn't too much of a surprise. I think some of the real surprises were that Democrats kind of came up short in their bids for the state legislative seats. It looked like, you know, judging by the early ballot returns that we saw early on in the election cycle, judging by some of the polling we saw, we thought it was going to be a pretty good night for Democrats, maybe even good enough that they could split the state Senate. It was always a bit of a long shot. And it turned out that it was a long shot. And as things stand right now, they did not split the Senate. They didn't really even come close. They wound up with 13 Republicans, 17 or 13 Democrats, 17 Republicans, which is basically the number they had coming out of the 2014 election. So really the status quo won at the Capitol.
So they took a step back a bit at the state senator. Is that pretty much, as you say, the way it was?
Well, technically, they took one step forward. There was a Republican lawmaker, Carlisle Begay, who had been elected as a Democrat, switched over to the Republican Party, and Democrats were able to pick up that seat from him, changing it from a 12-18 split as it currently is to a 13-17 split, as it was before Carlisle Begay jumped ship on the Democrats and joined the Republicans. There's still a couple of races that are still that are too close to call, especially the one in Legislative District 8. That's kind of central Phoenix area, affluent district, well-educated, where two House lawmakers were running against each other for the Senate. As it stands now, Kate Brophy McGee, the Republican, has about a 1,000 vote lead over Eric Meyer, the Democrat. But obviously, you know, there's still about 500,000 ballots in the state to be counted, the vast majority of those from Maricopa County. So we've been watching those numbers very closely every day as they're updating these things. But Kate Brophy McGee has held a small lead since, you know, coming out of, I believe, Wednesday morning. She kind of overtook Meyer, who was leading on election night.
All right, let's bring a couple of my colleague friends in. Dylan, you go first with Hank Stevenson.
Hank, what's your assessment of the how things turned out with the proposition that would have legalized recreational marijuana?
You know, I've been talking to a handful of the opponents of that proposition in the last couple of days. You know, the many of the Republican lawmakers were very vocal against it. Doug Ducey, the Chamber of Commerce, all those people put up a really good campaign against legalizing marijuana. I think that, you know, most people, including the opponents of the measure, thought there was a really good chance it would pass. And if not, that it would come down to the last handful of votes counted. And that's just not what we're seeing. They ran a very effective campaign. They had a lot of money. They had more than the pro-pot side had. And frankly, the pro-pot side just didn't run that good of a campaign. It did not seem like, in a lot of ways, a professional organization. It kind of seemed like a bunch of stoners running a campaign, which is surprising from the Marijuana Policy Project, which, you know, had a great night nationally. They had, you know, I want to say more than 10 recreational or medical marijuana propositions on the ballots across the country, and Arizona was their one loss. So, you know, and a good chunk of that can be chalked up to the huge amounts of money that Governor Ducey's friends were pumping into the anti-campaign, the fact that they ran a really good anti-campaign, and the fact that the pro-pot people really didn't run a good campaign throughout the election.
All right, let's hear from Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News.
Hank, over the last few months, there were concerns over Donald Trump negatively affecting down-ballot races. Now that he's the winner, we kind of have to flip the question, and we have to ask whether he affected any races positively.
You know, I think that the fact that Donald Trump was able to hold Arizona did a deed to Republicans. I think that, you know, had Donald Trump lost the state, we would have seen some different down-ballot results. But I agree, you know, the whole Trump effect had always been kind of, you know, that Trump was going to hurt the down-ballot candidates. And the fact that he actually came out with a win on election night, I think you've seen, you know, some of the national Republican congressional leaders come out and say, you know, he pulled off an amazing victory. We were wrong about this guy. Let's go forward. So I agree. You know, we're kind of turning that on its head now and saying, well, did he help these candidates? And, you know, here in Maricopa County, there was a really interesting case study where, you know, Donald Trump won Maricopa County as he won statewide. But Sheriff Joe Arpaio went down in flames here. You know, Sheriff Joe, who's been around for 30 years almost, who, you know, it was loved, has really never come all that close to losing an election up until the last couple of rounds. He went down hard. And so, you know, I've kind of been racking my brain over, you know, who are these people who supported Donald Trump but couldn't support Sheriff Joe Arpaio? Because, you know, in a lot of ways, they've got some strong similarities, at least on the surface. They're both very, you know, vocally anti-immigration. They've both kind of had a series of problems in their past that voters had to overlook if they wanted to support them. And, you know, one of the most interesting splits to me is just that Maricopa County really went for Arpaio and against Joe, or I'm sorry, for Trump and against Joe Arpaio, which is kind of mind-boggling, really.
Does Joe Arpaio have a place in the Trump administration?
You know, we've been hearing a lot of names that may have a place in the Trump administration. Joe Arpaio is really old. He has not looked his best in several years. You know, I don't know. I don't know his plan. I don't know Donald Trump's plan. We've definitely heard some rumors about a possibility of him joining the Trump administration, but you know, we hear all sorts of rumors about Joe Arpaio over the years. Every year he's about to jump into the gubernatorial race. you know, people like to speculate about Joe. So I'm going to, at this point, probably chalk that up to just more speculation about Joe.
Let's see if we can work a call in here before the break. Dan has called us at 790-2040 on the live line. Go ahead, Dan.
Yes, sir. Thank you. My daughter asked me to ask you about this. She wants to know this. Concerning this medical marijuana, she seems to think that the Mothers Against Drunk Driving did not inject themselves into this race whatsoever. And she's wondering why, because over the years she has given money to the drunk driving mothers, and she's starting to think that they're just political. I was wondering why they're not involved in more accidents from marijuana.
Oh, okay. Hank Stevenson, can you interpret that and answer that?
You know, I'm not real sure about Mothers Against Drunk Driving, how involved they were in this campaign. You know, that was a big kind of talking point about the initiative, that there's really no way to gauge whether a person is high when they're driving, as you can pretty easily do with alcohol through breathalyzers. There's no kind of equivalent on the marijuana side. So I know that was, you know, a big issue for the anti-pot people talking about, you know, that. One, there's going to be more stoned drivers on the road, which is going to lead to more accidents. They really pointed to Colorado to say, look, this is happening up there. It will happen here. As to why MAD didn't get involved in that fight, I really couldn't say.
All right. We should clarify that medical marijuana is the law in Arizona.
Yes,
it has been for quite some time. This proposition would have legalized recreational marijuana, that if anybody could use it, whether you had a medical card or not.
There you go.
Yeah, I assume that's what the caller was talking about, the recreational or retail marijuana.
All right, Hank, stick around. We're going to take a break right here. Hank Stevenson of the Arizona Capital Times will be with us after we take a break. And on Friday, we have our bumper music, intermission music with various artists who I am in the mood for. How about Joni Mitchell today? This from the Blue album, It's the River.
I had a river I could skate away on.
Sadly, animal abandonment and neglect happen to millions of animals every day. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona sees these cases all the time, and we want to save as many of these forgotten animals as we possibly can. Your support helps us help animals like Bobby, Elise, Jackie, and Mickey get the care and love they deserve. Please give to the forgotten and show them someone cares. Visit hssaz.org/forgottenfund to make your gift now.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. A little bit of Joni Mitchell on our bump music today. Dylan Smith is seated to the left of me and Dan Shear to the right. No significance in that at
all. Who's the Joker?
Oh, and the Joker in the middle is me, Mr. Buckmaster.
Well, there you go.
Dylan is the editor-publisher of the TucsonSentinel.com and Dan Shear, editor, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun. And we have on our live line Hank Stevenson, reporter, ace reporter for Arizona's Capital Times. Hank, what about the minimum wage? There's been some confusion now that everyone pretty much expected it to pass, but now how will it be implemented, please?
You know, it's kind of a staged-in thing. It will move up, our minimum wage will move up to $12 an hour by 2020, so it's not going to be immediate. And this has all sorts of kind of business and government implications. One, are we going to end up paying a dollar more, you know, for our hamburgers at McDonald's? And then to me, kind of a more interesting angle on this is, you know, there are, for example, disability service providers that pay a lot of people minimum wage to do the work, and their money comes all from government. And so what are they going to do when they have to bump up their minimum wage to continue providing the same level of services that they're providing now? Do they, you know, one, ask the state legislature for more money in the coming years, you know, millions of dollars of more money? I think that's probably the route they'll go, but do they get that money from the state legislature? Does this mean, you know, things like disability services, elderly services, a lot of these kind of things that have been outsourced from government to private industry, but still relying on government contracts to pay their employees? What are the implications of that? And I haven't really seen anyone kind of taking a deep look at that. I mean, the kind of top, the headline has always been, you know, you're going to be paying $6 for your coffee instead of $5, or, you know, an extra dollar at McDonald's. But there are some you know, more interesting implications than just paying a little bit more for your fast food initiative.
I had not thought of those implications that you brought up. That's a good point. Frank has called us at 790-2040. He would like to speak on Proposition 205. Go ahead, Frank.
Yes, my understanding was that that was a narrow defeat, 52 against and 48-4, with 600,000 votes still out. Doesn't that seem a little premature that that 2 percentage points and a fraction could be made up?
Well, the vast majority of ballots that are yet to be counted are in Maricopa County, where that was losing by a larger margin than it was, you know, here in Pima County and in Coconino County. Pretty much every place else, it was losing. In Maricopa, it had the widest spread with the no votes predominating. So it's unlikely that's going to change at this point in any of these races. We don't see generally that sort of huge shift in any kind of race, pushing a 4-point spread is pretty hard to change.
Very unusual.
A number of these ballots are provisional ballots that will not actually be added to the tally. They need to be verified first. And if somebody voted in the wrong polling place and cast a provisional, their vote's not actually going to count. So these are not all ballots that will be added to the count. They're ballots that need to be reviewed, and a pretty good percentage will still be tacked on.
Okay, that's Dylan. Hank, do you want to add anything to that, or should I kick it over?
I mean, there are kind of mathematical formulas that go into this stuff. Once you know, what the expected turnout is going to be, how many ballots are remaining, how many it's down by, it becomes very clear that, it would have to suddenly start winning by, 70, 80% of the votes, which has not happened anywhere in this campaign. So the AP was really quick to call that. I think they called that relatively early on election night and just, did the math and realized that, barring some truly strange results with, the late early ballots, the provisional ballots, that this thing just wasn't going to make a comeback. And we've seen it, kind of climbing very slowly, but it's not going to get up to that 50.1%.
Here's Dan Scheer, the Green Valley News.
Hank, back to the topic of Donald Trump building his team. Down here we have U.S. Representative Martha McSally. She had a successful first term by many accounts, was easily reelected, and looks to be headed toward a long career in Congress if she wants it. If you were her and you were offered a job in the administration by Donald Trump, would you take it?
If I were Martha McSally, I gotta kind of transport myself for that. And then on top of that, if I were offered a job in the Trump administration, me personally, I don't think I could resist just for the fun of it all. But I don't know Martha McSally well enough to kind of decide, if she's going to do it. And Martha McSally kept a good distance from Trump throughout this entire campaign, refused to say whether she was supporting the nominee. Did what Martha McSally does best, which was remain quiet about the topics that are important to voters. So I don't really see any, she hasn't been a big Trump booster. She hasn't, we've got a lot of Trump boosters here in Arizona who are eyeing, cabinet positions or some kind of job in the administration right now. And I just don't put Martha McSally in that pack. I think she's going to continue to do her own thing. There's been rumors about her eyeing the Senate seat when one becomes available. She's got a big career, and I don't know that she necessarily wants to go, be a cog in the Trump machine when, she can be her own woman in Congress.
And Dylan, would you like to jump in?
I don't know that I have any more to add on that part. You're such a keen observer of the legislature in so many ways. How do you see our education funding playing out over the next year? We did what Governor Ducey called step one. The Democrats have been jumping up and down for months and months and months asking where the heck is step two. What's going to happen?
Well, I think the big fight over education funding next year will really be about all-day kindergarten. We've already heard, outside groups, education organizations making a big fuss about this. They had some kind of a conference maybe a month ago where they got the governor there. They got a lot of legislative leaders there, Republicans. And the whole conference was about all-day kindergarten, which we used to have before the budget crisis, and they cut that back. It was something that was implemented during the Napolitano years, and it's just bizarre to hear Republicans now talking about bringing it back, but it is a huge point of conversation up here in Phoenix. Governor Ducey hasn't signed on, as Governor Ducey generally tends to do. He said, we can talk about this, but my first priority is a balanced budget. So we need to come up with the money to pay for something like this. But I know there's a huge appetite, even among the Republicans, to bring this program back. It has shown in studies to be very effective, especially towards getting children reading by third grade, which is one of the major metrics we have towards, are our children succeeding in school. So that may be, next year's Medicaid expansion or kids care fight, the real major battle at the legislature. I think you're right. It will be on education funding. And I think, that's going to be a big part of the conversation, is bringing back all day kindergarten and whether that can get across the finish line. I mean, I've been surprised by, the people who I've heard talking in support of bringing back all day K. So I think it's got a pretty decent shot. Obviously, Democrats are going to be pushing for it. And I think that there's broad enough support within the Republican Party to bring that back, if they can find a way to pay for it. And there's a lot of other things going on with the budget right now. There was a big court decision yesterday that's going to have big implications for the state retirement system and the budget in general. So money's always an issue, but I think that's going to be a large part of the, what's known as step two in our education plan. And it's not something Doug Ducey is pushing right now, but it's something that a lot of organizations are organizing around and getting Republican lawmakers support. So I think that'll be a big part of the conversation in 2017.
That pension issue could be huge if the pension funds have to, not just for the judges, but for everybody, if that decision ends up applying to everyone. If they have to pay back all of that money that people supposedly overpaid towards their pensions, that could be millions and millions and millions of dollars. And we can have to pay interest back as well?
Hmm.
I don't know the full implications of this. I've seen some kind of very early price tags without knowing, what all this applies to, but somewhere in the range of already looking at, $200 million, which, isn't going to make or break the bank, but it's no small chunk of change either. And that, it could end up being far more reaching than that. So this is something that just came out yesterday. Was that yesterday? Yesterday or the day before?
It all blurs together on election week, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's been hard for any of us to really go in and dissect what this court decision means exactly, because we've all been focusing so closely on the election. But it's safe to say it has huge implications for the state budget.
All right, let's see if we can work one more question in from Dan Scheer.
Hank, what are your thoughts on how all of the polls got the presidential race wrong?
Oh, man, that is such a big topic. I think there's going to be people much smarter than me kind of dissecting this for years to come on how even the smartest people among pollsters and media, the guys like, 538, who have in the past predicted every single state correctly, got it so very wrong. And I think, there's a lot of different takes I've seen. I'm not going to claim credit for any of them, but Trump was a very different candidate than we've seen in the past, and you can't apply the normal political thinking, whether it be in polling or organizing or really any facet of politics, to somebody who just breaks the mold in such a astounding way. I mean, he's a candidate unlike one we've ever seen, and so it stands to reason that the election results will be unlike anything we've ever expected, I guess.
Our congressional delegation, any changes there? We have Mr. O'Halloran beating Sheriff Babu, but of course that seat was a Democratic seat in District 1 anyway, so that's not going to change. But overall on the map, did anything change, Hank Stevenson?
No, District 1 stayed in Democratic hands. District 2 stayed in Republican hands. Those are our two truly competitive districts. Mm-hmm. Here in Phoenix, District 9 is also on paper competitive, but I think Kyrsten Sinema has just shown that that is no longer a competitive race, and Republicans aren't even really putting up seasoned, serious candidates against her. In a lot of ways, what same thing as what you saw down in Congressional District 2, where you know, the incumbent is just such a juggernaut that no, kind of high-profile politician wants to waste their political capital running in a race that they probably can't beat those incumbents. So, there was no change in the overall congressional makeup. And I think more than anything, this kind of solidified, at least the CD2 especially, that will remain in Republican hands probably for a while. CD1, every year, it's a toss-up. You know, I heard some Democrats on election night saying, well, that's great for us, but, you know, in 2 years we're going to lose that district again. So that one, you know, a new incumbent, Tom O'Halloran hasn't been reelected. So, you know, they have a saying in Washington that you're not elected until you're reelected. And Martha McSally was just reelected, so I guess it's official.
All right, Hank Stevenson, thank you very much from the Arizona Capital Times. Hank, get some rest this weekend. Hope you have a good weekend.
You too. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks a lot. Hank Stevenson he's an award-winning reporter at an award-winning publication, the Arizona Capital Times. We've got our Friday roundtable with Dylan Smith and Dan Scheer. But right now, how about a little music to take us to the break from Leonard Cohen. Dylan, you're a big fan of Mr. Cohen, who passed away at 82 this week.
And just recently released a brand new album that's really good. I guess this is going to be probably his most famous song, widely covered, widely known, Hallelujah.
All right.
I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You love to laugh? Then don't miss Born Yesterday by Garson Kanin, presented by UA's Arizona Repertory Theater. Harry Brock tries to bribe senators in D.C. to help him with a crooked scheme, but his showgirl mistress needs some tutoring so the couple seems believable. See what happens when he discovers a little learning can be a dangerous thing. Come celebrate 80 years of your Wildcats in theater and see Born Yesterday through December 4th, co-sponsored by Jane Kibble with Campbell, Yost, Claire, and Laurel. Season sponsor, Chapman Automotive. Tickets.arizona.edu.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday at noon, the Monday Political Face-Off will feature this week commentators John Munger and Jeff Rogers. Our monthly scam alert comes from the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. Buckmaster on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030, KVOI, with worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive.
You come over to the window, my little darling. I'd like to try to read your palm.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. That's the late, great Leonard Cohen, dying this week at the age of 82. Wasn't it last week we were honoring Bobby V., who died? Yeah, so it's like one a week we're losing some of these musical legends. Let's hope we go a week without it this upcoming week.
So long, Leonard. Thanks, man.
Yeah, I tell you. That's Dylan Smith, editor, publisher, creator of TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan is with me, as is Dan Scheer, editor of the Saharita Sun and the Green Valley News. We sort of touched on polling a little bit. Dylan, you've got some thoughts, too, on that.
Yeah, and we could probably spend the entire rest of the show and all afternoon talking about this. I'm sure we want to get into some other things, too.
Yeah.
But real quick, people don't understand math. And that's why everybody's jumping up and down about the polls right now.
Nate Silver poll.
Well, yeah, we can start with that, you know, a sort of a probability assessment based on lots of polling. He's not a pollster himself. He just examines all of the other polls. And he was saying for, you know, weeks Trump had a chance to win the election.
Yes.
At one point it was pretty low, that it was like about 17%, and then it bumped up to about 27%, and towards the end was about a 32% chance.
Yes, it was.
If you're a 320 hitter in the major leagues, you're making some money. You live in a very nice house.
Yeah.
You know, but when we see a 320 hitter step up to the plate, we expect that guy to get a hit.
Uh-huh.
You know, you expect Trump to lose because he's got a 32% chance, but you expect the guy at the plate to get a hit because he has a 32% chance. You know, people don't really understand probability at all. And that's why we have a lottery, and that's why we have Las Vegas.
Yeah, but a 320 hitter isn't going up against a 680 hitter, which is basically what we had
here.
Well, he's
going
up
against a 680 pitcher.
Yeah, but again, so much had to fall Trump's way. That was where people were writing him off and just saying, that absolutely isn't going to happen. And so it was pretty
probability,
astounding.
The polls that probability was based on, that assessment was based on, most of them had Hillary Clinton leading, but right above or just within the margin of an error, which basically means those polls were tied, despite the fact that there was a 2 or a 4 point spread. If you're within a 4 point margin of error, there's a large swing that's possible. You know, you have to account for the fact that polls are not accurate. They're sort of a blurry snapshot of things.
So is it indicative of a media bias that more people weren't pointing out what you're pointing out?
Perhaps. I think, within newsrooms, there's a thing called journalism math that most journalists are pretty terrible about understanding mathematics, just as barely, most people in this country are
barely
pretty terrible
keep their
about
own
it.
Checkbooks.
And I, you know, I can't say I'm a mathematical genius. I'm not very good at it, but I got a pretty good seat of the pants assessment of probabilities. That's why I don't bet and have never gone to Las Vegas, because I understand I'm going to lose. But you know, on that, the biggest factor was this was a really low turnout election. And I think one that introduced errors into the polls. If you ask somebody if they're a likely voter and then they get included in your likely voter pool, but then they don't actually show up at the polls. And that seems like that happened with quite a few people. Donald Trump won with fewer votes than Mitt Romney got when he lost in the last election.
And it also appears that people
didn't vote.
It appears that people who fully intended to go out and vote weren't going to be part of the polls for whatever reason. They were a little sheepish about supporting him.
That's also
or
possible.
It was nobody's business, or they lied,
it's
or whatever.
It's becoming harder and harder to poll people.
Absolutely.
As we move away from landlines. It's more difficult to actually get in touch with people. We saw a lot of tracking polls that had some flawed models. Last week we talked about the LA Times tracking poll that was severely flawed because of the inclusion of one black guy in Chicago who was a Donald Trump supporter. And the tracking poll surveys the exact same people over and over again over time to see if they change. Probably some of those other tracking polls were skewed in the other way. And we could start digging into the data and really see quite how they messed up. When it comes down to it, if about 150,000 people spread across Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin had voted differently, this would be an entirely different election. That's three college football games.
Right.
You know, the audiences that show up. If people had changed their votes, if a few more people had showed up at the polls, this whole thing would be very different. So looking at this as some sort of, you know, historic landslide sweep, just like we've seen in so many other recent elections, It really comes down to narrow margins in very specific places.
But journalists have to also be honest with themselves and ask whether we need to be doing our jobs differently moving ahead. And at a community newspaper, and I used to work for a big Metro Daily, but at a community newspaper, you are by definition much closer to your audience.
You know them by name. You know those people.
Yes, and you have a better sense of maybe which way they would go. But you're also in a very small community, and in Green Valley, it's a very conservative community, so it's going to be skewed like that. But more people getting up out of the newsroom into the community rather than maybe listening to the pundits on CNN or Fox or wherever, because they do influence newsrooms too, which is embarrassing to say, but it's true.
Just look at the situation here in Arizona. We all knew that Arizona was not going to go for Hillary Clinton.
Absolutely.
But a lot of the pundits, you know, what we call in the business parachute journalism, you know, people who have nothing to do with the place
saying
come in
it
and
was
think
in,
they know.
In play. And the,
yeah, yes. Because a couple of polls said it was. And, maybe there was a possibility.
And the same applied, I think, to John McCain.
The Clinton campaign
as well.
Invested so much money and time and resources and sent all of these high-profile people to Arizona to hopefully try and pick up this state. And did they go to Wisconsin?
No.
Did they go to Michigan? A little bit. Did they go to Pennsylvania?
Not enough.
Based on that complete echo chamber, the Democrats really messed this thing up.
Well, maybe we now need to entertain the thought that maybe small newspapers in Green Valley or Oro Valley or Marana or wherever know the state better than the parachute journalists.
Absolutely,
and maybe we need to take a little bit more ownership and say, yeah, you know what? I think what you're saying could be really wrong. Instead, we just assume that they have better resources, they're better trained, they're smarter people, and
other issues where they get it wrong. I don't assume that at all.
The border is one of them.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
They come down there and they talk to one or two ranchers and they think they got it locked down, and we know that they're completely off base.
That's the perfect example of parachute journalism, that we see how it works not well when somebody comes here and spends 10 minutes looking at the border fence and acts like they're an expert on TV when they stand in front of a TV camera.
Any changes in your area? Daniel Hernandez appears to be have won that seat down
yes.
in your area.
Yeah, so that's Legislative District 2. He will now make it three Democrats representing that area, Daniel Hernandez, Rosana Gabaldon, and Andrea D'Alessandro. Gabaldon and D'Alessandro retained their seats. Daniel came in and he was beat in soundly in Pima County, but it was Santa Cruz County, you know, Nogales, because that district stretches from southern Tucson all the way down to Nogales. They're the ones who carried him and Rosanna. Chris Ackerley, who snuck in there 2 years ago and actually did a really good job, but as a Republican, just got aced out of it. Very hard worker. He's going to be missed, but we look forward to seeing what Daniel can do for us.
And Todd Clodfelder holding on to a very, very narrow lead.
I didn't see the numbers this morning, but yeah, that was a very, very narrow race.
And Tim Steller wrote about that Friday in Today. If you're listening Saturday, it would be yesterday in the Star. It's always a bit strange.
Well, if you're listening on the podcast, yes. It could be next week.
Oh, of course it could. But he wrote about that the TUSD, Rachel Sedgwick, was perhaps one of the only upsets locally.
And that was, especially if you pull up the pie chart of that race, it looks like a pretty even split all the way across that pie. We saw the two of the incumbents be reelected, Mark Stegman and Crystal Foster.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Juarez was trailing. He's somewhere down the list. How many candidates were there?
Seven candidates for TUSD.
Yeah, seven. He's down there about number six. But when once you get past those top two, they're
going to be
a very close race. And at this point, it doesn't look like it's going to change. It looks like Sedgwick is going to pick up that third seat that was available.
Dylan, would you call Napier over Nanos an upset?
Mildly.
Well, just based on the fact that if you are a Republican running against a Democrat in Pima County.
Yeah.
That is a difficult task.
It is.
That was not a narrow race. That was a very healthy margin that Napier won by. So, yeah, I mean, Chris Nanos was not somebody that people had ever voted for. He was the incumbent, but he was appointed, so people were not in the habit of filling in the little circle next to his name. And that kind of thing, affects how a race will play out. If somebody's never voted for you before, you don't have quite the same weight of being an incumbent. But still, for a Democrat to be blown out of office in that way, yeah, that's an upset.
Absolutely. Dylan Smith, thank you very much, Dylan.
You're very welcome.
And Dan Scheer, thank you very much. Hope you both have a great weekend.
Thank you.
All right, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is next.
Up a parking lot. With a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Amo Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review. Plus, Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found in the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, sponsored and presented by the wonderful people over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. This would be a perfect weekend to kind of unplug, drive 3 hours east of Tucson, and just maybe hang out in the Gila National Wilderness. So much to do over in that great area. Go to Southwest New Mexico. Spell it out full, southwestnewmexico.org. There's at least 24 great places to stay and about as many recreational opportunities all listed for you there. Let's welcome now Matt Russell, Mr. Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist. He is the Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist, and we're always delighted to have him with us on Weekend Watch. Happy Veterans Day to you, Matt.
And right back to you, Bill. And you know what? What I love about these kinds of days, so many local restaurants are really choosing to honor our nation's veterans today with discounts and other specials. And I thought I'd just mention a few with hopes that some of your veteran listeners can treat themselves on this day. First, Prep and Pastry is offering 20% off, not just for vets, but for all of those serving in the military. General Ben's is offering half off all food for vets and active duty military today. Vets will also get a free entree today at Amy's Cafe, and Little Anthony's Diner is treating all veterans to a free dessert today. Great specials for some great American heroes. And my thanks go out today to all those who served, Bill.
Thank you so much for mentioning some of those. I understand it's first anniversary time for one of our distillers in town.
Yeah. Hard to believe it's been a year since Three Wells Distilling opened their doors in Tucson. This is the company, of course, behind the locally distilled spirits made from prickly pear fruit and wild juniper from Mount Lemmon. And they're going to be throwing an anniversary party tomorrow from 2 to 6 p.m. at their distillery, which is over on 44th Street, just east of Dodge. Actually, not too far from where you're sitting right now, Bill. They're going to have horseshoes and other games, as well as a cocktail garden. Some music. They're going to be offering $2 off your first cocktail, as well as $5 off all of their bottles. And, of course, that includes their famous Mount Lemmon gin. I say happy birthday to Three Wells today.
Pecan pie time.
I am telling you, you are singing my song. The annual Suarita Pecan Festival is back for its eighth year. taking place from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. tomorrow out on the festival grounds, 1625 East Sarita Road. This is a great event with a pecan run and walk, a pecan pie contest, arts and crafts, horse-drawn wagon rides, a ton of food vendors. This is always a fun event, and I do love me a pecan pie, Bill. What about you?
Oh, love it. With the pumpkin pie, I could make it my Thanksgiving dinner right there. what can we look for in the Inside Tucson Business column this week?
Well, speaking of Thanksgiving, I'm always curious how you sort of reconcile the authenticity of that colonial culinary experience with the Rockwellian imagery that defines Thanksgiving today. So I sat down with a local chef to find out how he harmonizes custom and culture on this big day for foodies like me. You can read the entire story in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Today.
Have a great weekend, Matt. Thank you.
Cheers, Bill.
The Bill Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. We are wholly responsible for the content of the program. I want to thank some people. Our original theme music on the Buckmaster Show that you hear at the beginning of our program by a fine young German from Munich, Germany, Christophan. Thank you, Christophan. There's a link to his work at buckmastershow.com. Also want to thank Tom Fairbanks with me on Friday. Our engineer producer, Ray Allen, is with me Monday through Thursday. Of course, Doug and Mary Martin, the station owners, really everybody here at KVOI making what we do very possible. And of course, Rosemary Brandt, who's been with me since the beginning as my assistant for our program. On behalf of all of us at KVOI and the Buckmaster team, have a great weekend.